بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This morning the sabak was about dua. What are the adab of dua? What are the requirements of dua? Amongst the adab is that we start off with the praise of Allah Ta'ala, hamd and sana, durood sharif, and then we commence the dua. Also, it is desirable that the words of the dua be comprehensive. So when they are comprehensive, then it's easy to maintain a consistency. Like for example, you said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. You covered all the good of both the lives. And then the same dua can be repeated 3 times, 4 times, and that will amount to ilha. And ilha is something that is desired in dua, persisting. Allah, please, please, please. Then with all that, then the hadith says there'll be people يَعْتَدُّونَ فِي الطَّهُورِ وَالدُّعَى. There'll be people that will overstep the mark in matters pertaining to taharat and matters pertaining to dua. Right. Taharat, so obviously it is a precondition, prerequisite for namaz. Without taharat, the namaz is incorrect. But then to overdo it, that's also not right. See, one of the reasons to get the namaz to the level of acceptance is to see that the taharat is right. Once Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing the namaz, and there were some confusion that were coming up in the process. So he looked towards the congregation, he asked, what's wrong with the people that they don't do their wuzu correctly? As a result, it creates confusion in the minds. That means if the congregation is not right, it will also affect the salah of the imam. So amongst the weaknesses in wuzu, one is that we overuse the water. Like for example, you are taking water from a tap, washing your face, so the tap is left flowing, wasting water. So if there's a way where you can close the tap at the time that you are washing your face, or for example you are washing your limbs, right, then just adequate, sufficient that you can wash the limb correctly, and you open the tap full blast, right, more of the water is getting wasted and less of the water is getting onto your limb. Like you look at most people making ghusl, right, you'll find that more of the water is wasted and less water is coming onto the body directly. But then the quality of the namaz is affected, because though you got your taharat, but you didn't do it correctly. But you didn't do it correctly according to the sunnah, so that got affected. So you don't underuse the water and don't overuse the water. Both are important. Don't underuse it, don't overuse it. Use it correctly. On the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah SAW will recognize the Sahaba Ikram or the Muslims. And Sahaba Ikram were quite anxious to know, how will you recognize us? So, by the symbols, there'll be some signs. To that symbols of that signs, I'll be able to identify my Ummat. And how will that be? That will be in this way, that Ghurram Muhajjaleen, the foreheads will be shining, the arms will be shining because of wuzu. They did the wuzu correctly, and as a result, on the day of Qiyamah, then the heads will be shining and the arms will also be shining. You see, what fazilat has been mentioned in the hadith, then that fazilat is not meant to listen and to forget. But at the time that you're executing that sunnah or that faraz, think that this is the promise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You'll do this and you'll get that salam. After the faraz namaz, you read Ayatul Kursi, for example. And the hadith says that there is no barrier between you and Jannat besides death. So with that frame of mind that I am paying for my Jannat, that frame of mind, you can read it straight, but try and do two things. One is, from an experienced alim, understand the contents. What you're reciting, understand the contents. Don't just read through it. And really, if you understand the contents, it has a different effect. See, a lot of times we become victims of suspicion, doubt, etc. And one of the main reasons is that we don't reflect over the meanings. Or we don't recite with that level of yaqeen. Sometimes we don't reflect over the meaning, and at times we don't read with that level of yaqeen. So with that yaqeen and the reflection over the meaning, what I'm reading, understand what you are reading. Right? So you said, for example, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. You said al-hayyul qayyum, the one that is eternal. You know, there's no beginning, there's no end. He is always. Allah Ta'ala is always. And you said al-qayyum, he's maintaining and sustaining the whole universe, whole thing, everything he's maintaining. From a small ant, and even if it is a million times smaller than an ant, he is sustaining and maintaining that. And if it is the heavens, and what is even huger than the heavens, the kursi, and the arsh that Allah Ta'ala speaks about, is much huger, right? Like, just to illustrate, you see the kursi, the entire universe, in comparison to the kursi, is like, take a drop in an ocean, a ring in an ocean. Can you imagine now the vastness of the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so vast. So when Allah Pak will reward, He'll reward so much. Chhat paar karke dega. He'll give so much, and He'll give, and He'll give, and He'll give. You won't have the capacity. Then you say, Allah Pak, enough. Kufitu, I got enough, Allah Pak. He'll give, and He'll give so much. But these du'as are supposed to be recited at that level of yaqeen. Understand the words that you recite every day, like, the virtue that comes with it and the meanings of it, understand it. And I tell you, if you do it, you won't need this ruqyas and all that. You know, I think in one week you'll have about 3 complaints about ruqyah. This happened here, and they've got a ruqyah side, that side there, and this is the problem here, that side, that's the problem there. But by what was the Rasulullah Paksam had explained, the advice that he's given, why don't we take it to heart? Serious. No. These are the words of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They can't be wrong. The whole world can be wrong. But what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, it can't be wrong. So, with that level of yaqeen, if he said, for example, right, la adwa, there isn't a thing like contagiousness, then do it with that yaqeen. But the moment you dropped your guard, so these things became and attacked you. Why? Because you dropped your guard. Your guard is that Nabi Sam said there isn't a thing like this. So do it with that yaqeen. Behave with that yaqeen. When you behave with that yaqeen, now these things can't interfere. But you drop your guard, what happens? Say at 10 o'clock at night, now you're just going to sleep, all alone in the house. One day you're all alone. And someone gave one jinnah story for half an hour. Nobody's in the house, you're all alone. All the family is gone, maybe it's a long weekend. Can you sleep now? If you're serious, like a drama, how it happened and all that, can you sleep? As strong as you are, because they're giving you the story at that time, your guards have been dropped, so you're going to become a victim of this thing here. So don't listen to the story, I'll listen to the story tomorrow, but now, just leave me. See, we need to understand, اِكْلِفُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا تُطِيقُونَ. Take so much that you can manage. Don't take things that you cannot manage. So if you've got a physical capacity, you've got a mental capacity. Physical capacity, you can eat so much. Right? You can execute so much of work, administer so much of work, physical capacity.
Right? Beyond that, you can't manage it. You can eat so much of food. So you got a capacity. Beyond that, if you try and do something, you're going to hurt yourself. So exactly the same, by the same token, you've got a mental capacity. You can handle so much of information. Beyond that, you cannot handle. Now how that works? Mental capacity. Now there are simple illustrations, but it's just that we don't apply our mind. See, you're sitting pretty well. And someone gives you the message of a death, what happens? You get terrified, don't you? So you've got a mental capacity. You behave according to your mental capacity. Don't go beyond that. One person was here from India. So he's talking about how his mother died. So he says, one brother was working in South Africa. So he went into India. He wanted to give his mother a surprise. So he went in. And as he came to the house, he phoned the mother that, I'm here at the door. She got so excited. That excitement, right? She lost her composure. She began to bleed from the nose. And in 1 hour's time, she was gone. So the excitement got to her. She couldn't manage it. See, so we need to understand that the mind has also got a capacity. And when the mind has got a capacity, then we behave according to our mental capacity, not beyond that mental capacity. Sometimes it's just a rumor. But what it does to your mind, you're sitting pretty well here, right? Allah Ta'ala forbid. But someone says to you, that you know your wife is cheating on you. A young man with a good wife, and they just tell you that, you know, that she's in a very convincing way, a respectable person in a convincing way, he says to you that your wife is cheating on you. I ask you, will you be normal? And you can't handle it. Now you're suspicious all the time. What happened? Yeah, she's behind my back. What she's doing, what I didn't do for her, and what she's doing to me. You know, the life goes in a turmoil. But it's just that one toxin that was injected into you that turned the whole life into a turmoil. Like there is a physical toxin that will corrupt your system, then there is a mental toxin that will corrupt you. So by accepting that you can't manage some things, don't take that type of information. Listen to all the stories here. And then it shakes your iman. It shakes your iman. You can't manage it, say I can't manage it, but leave it for someone else who can manage the thing. And if it's nothing else, what happens? When you hear these stories here, tell me what happens to you at the time of namaz. I ask you, aren't you haunted by these thoughts at the time of namaz? So is it worth the price that your namaz, the quality of your namaz, got affected because of these stupid thoughts, the stupid discussion? You engaged in it, and the quality of namaz had definitely got affected. You hear this story, that story, the third story. Now in your namaz, it's a virus, this thing here, that. But at the expense of your namaz. That was the most precious commodity. Get that right. Got that right, everything is right. That is wrong, everything is wrong. But to guard your salah, what steps you need to take? Are we taking those steps to guard that salah? The problem is, we don't understand the value of namaz. You got the diamond, you got something very precious. What precautionary measures you take to look after the wealth that you got, etc. You attach an importance, you don't interfere with that. But that namaz, one person is reading namaz for about 35 years in this manner, that he's picturing that he's on the pul sirat, right is Jannat and left is Jahannam, and before him is Malakul Maut. So they asked him, by how long are you doing this namaz? For 30 years. But you see that namaz is a reality. So Al-Mu'alimi Asab Rahim says, this is the problem with the Ummah today, that there is no ihtisab. Now with that frame of mind, that I'm going to read Ayatul Kursi, and this is going to be the reward. Death is the only barrier between me and Jannah. With that frame of mind, learning a little bit of the translation, understanding what you're reciting, and you're reciting with that conviction, what's going to happen to you? It will definitely, your recitations will be at a different level. Simple things, put it into place and see what a difference it makes to your life. Simple things, and what a difference it brings to your life. You're reciting the tasbihat. But recite the tasbihat with some life. Add some life to it. That you recite the three tasbihat after the first namaz, then all your sins are getting forgiven. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْلَ زَبَدِ الْبَحْرِ. Even if it is as huge as the foam of the ocean, everything is getting wiped. But with that frame of mind, I must have had some minor discrepancies, some weaknesses, some faults. But Allah Pakistan will forgive all of it. Today they were doing the kitab reading. that one oppressive king, right? Oppressive king. Just 2 days before he could die, he saw a dog suffering, and he cried. He wept, right? So he showed it kindness, brought it right, everything. And 2 days later, he passed away. So he summoned before Allah Ta'ala. Someone seen, but he summoned before Allah Ta'ala. You were oppressive as a dog, hurting people, right? But for the kindness that you had shown to this animal, I have forgiven you. You were behaving like a dog towards people, right? So we allowed you to do the service, to be kind to a dog, to wipe out your sins. I have taken it upon myself to be responsible to pay out all those people that you had oppressed. Kingdom is Allah Ta'ala's. You've been hurtful to that person. You corrected something this idea. Allah Ta'ala took it upon himself to pay out all the people, to remunerate all the people that you had hurt. You see that? Now, with that frame of mind, that I'll do this work of kindness, and how pleasing will it be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll do this, and what Allah Ta'ala will give me for it. So there is a life in your work. Right? If the boss tells you, you know, do your duties nicely, come on time. And now and then I may have an overtime, and just see me right. And if you see me right, every year I'll buy you a brand new Merc S-Class, 10 million rand job, all, full house. And plus, I'll give you 2 tickets for Umrah. All your medical is covered. I ask you, that will there be any life in that work of yours? You'll do it that, hey, Merc is coming. Every step you're taking, that Merc is coming, that Umrah is coming, that medical fees, everything's been covered. So there'll be life in your work. So when you are doing that work, with that frame of mind, that this work I'm doing, and this is the reward. This work I'm doing, Allah Pak wants you to think like that. Allah Pak wants you to behave like that. Why should you think that, no, I don't need that reward, I just need the happiness of Allah. One person came to Thana Bhavan. Mujhe na jannat ki fikr hai, na jahannam ki fikr hai. Bas Allah Ta'ala ki mohabbat hai, aur kuch nahi. I'm not concerned about jannat, I'm concerned about jahannam. It's just the love of Allah Ta'ala. I want just the love of Allah Ta'ala. In a few hours, he's asking me, you know, I'm battling a little bit. I just keep 10 rupees. Well, I gave him the 10 rupees. Well, I asked him after that, bhai, tumhe 10 rupees se sabr nahi ho saka, jannat se kya sabr hogi? You couldn't resist asking for the 10 rupees. How can you resist the temptation of jannat? This little 10 rupees, you couldn't resist that. And you say, no, you can resist jannat. Use your brains. Understand what you're talking about. You just heard something, you read something on some Sufi kitab, and you are making nakal of it without understanding what you're talking about. So Allah Pak wants you to have that hope in Him, that expectation. I'll do this, and this is what He will do for me. I will perform my Ishraq namaz, right? Akfika akhirah. Salli li rakatain wa arba'a rakatin akfika akhirahu. You need 4 rakats, I will see to you for the rest of the day. Now do it. Now engage the lawyer, this one here, that business, this money here, everything you'll do. But the last thing that will be on the cards will be to recite this 4 rakat of namaz. Whereas the promise of Rasulullah SAW, he wants you to have the deep level conviction that it's going to happen. Do it and you see the reward. Do it, but with conviction, with certainty. So we're talking about dua this morning. And then I went on, I said, see, when we don't have a proper relationship with the mashayikh, buzurganuddin, we don't understand this. We got pieces here and there, and we're trying to put the puzzle together with our own minds. And we don't realize that sometimes the main part of the puzzle is lost. Why? We think I'm sharp, I don't need to anybody. I can work out things. Talk of Quran, I can work out. Hadith, I can work out. I don't need these things. But many a time, this is coming out of pride. Coming out of arrogance. I know it, I don't need to listen. See that pride comes, it overtakes you. Or you want to impress about yourself. And you want to push the other person down. You want to impress upon yourself. But in trying to impress, right, what's happening? You're trying to distinguish yourself by extinguishing someone else. What happens? You try to distinguish yourself by extinguishing someone else. That is why There was a reason why Nabi Sassam said, why don't you do this comparison amongst the Anbiya alayhi salam? They give a lot of reasons why don't you do it. But one of the reasons is that when you go to a normal person, right, who is not that level, he doesn't have that level of understanding. See, all of us want to say, no, I got the understanding. I read the Quran. I know it. So everybody thinks that. But the normal person, when he's making the comparison between two people, he'll have to extinguish one person to distinguish the other. He doesn't realize that he's putting his person down. And in the process, he's hurting himself. As the Shaykh Ahmad used to say, by in Allah walo se darte raho, unki ulti bhi sidhi hoti hai. Just be careful of these people here. It may seem, it may appear that what they're saying is incorrect, but that also will work out to be, will work out to be correct. You don't have the understanding. So say, I don't have the understanding. I didn't understand the story full. The full story properly, I didn't understand it. So rather remain silent. Until I got the full story, I remain silent. Or I try and find out myself, you know, where's the missing link? You know, sometimes it happens to you. I read one masla, Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says to bring a bed into the masjid is impermissible. What? To bring a bed into the masjid is impermissible. But I'm looking, I'm thinking about it, you know, but the Ustuwana Sarir was in the masjid. Sarir is a bed, and that Ustuwana, that column is still preserved up to this day. So that spot is preserved, right? So I didn't shade anybody. Maybe my reasoning is faulty. And because of my faulty reasoning, therefore I've got the doubt. But I didn't get to any person who I could refer the masla. So there wasn't anybody around, I could refer the masla. After 20 years I found the masla. The reasoning. So Mawlana says, you see, with respect to adab, then adab is largely based on usage. Adab and respect is how people take it. Now I found this after 20 years. I'm thinking, why did Mawlana say this? I just remained silent. I didn't say anything. I could have said, hey, what is he talking about? The Ustuwana Sarif, the masjid. I could have said that. But I said, no, she's got a status. We need to respect their status. I don't have that knowledge. Mera wahan tak rasai nahi. I don't have that level. That's easier to say. So you didn't badmouth the person. No, I must have my 5 cents. To run someone down, to impress upon others, I must have my 5 cents. What happens afterwards? Mahroomi ke alawa kuch nahi rehta. So I found the reason after 20 years, imagine. The reason was that, like I said, these things revolve around usage. See, this free-mindedness and free tongue is very, very, very dangerous. Just have a free tongue, just say what you want to say. Hit this person, smash that person down. And how that thing comes and smashes you afterwards, that's nobody's guess. You think, I just mentioned it by in passing. But now, how it comes and smashes you down afterwards, you don't realize. It comes now straight away, it'll come later. When it comes, Allah Pak knows. But it'll come differently, it'll come and smash you down. So, just be careful of the usage of the tongue. You know, the usage of the eyes is very important. But I say that the usage of the tongue is not nowhere less. You know, the tongue, the eyes can put you away. It's a poisonous arrow, it can put you away. But the misuse of the tongue is no less than the misuse of the eyes. That can also smash you down, and smash you down very badly. Now look at the reasoning of Mawlana. He says, see, the usage, it revolves around the usage. So this now masla is cleared up by Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi. You have to have all that understanding to come to this conclusion. So Ismail Shaheed Sahib explained that this is revolving around usage, how people treat this, right? Say for example, is a Quran Sharif on the desk, right? I am seated here. So will you consider it to be disrespectful? Yes, disrespectful. But now if I stand up, now will you consider it to be disrespectful? Now I ask you, what's the reasoning? Can you give me an intellectual, logical reasoning? Other than saying that that's usage. Now certain things are just revolved around usage. And if you accept it that it's because of usage, therefore this thing has to go in this way. You can say that this is my father's girlfriend. That you're talking about your mother. What do you say? When you're introducing your mother, you say, this is my father's girlfriend, his darling. Right? No, that's, this is Bigfoot. But he says, no, it's my mother. It's my mother. Now, when you said that it's my mother, does it have a different feeling or does it have the same feeling? And if someone has to say that it's your father's girlfriend, how you feel? Don't feel offended. You feel offended, but it's coming to the same. It's arriving to the same, but you don't use it in that way. Now, in cheezo ke liye, bhai, ye ghar ki akal ki zaruwat hai. But this problem comes about with pride. You know, I must distinguish myself. Put that person down. Whoever it is, push it down. I'm talking the truth. I'm not hiding. I don't mince my words. I just say it. But it's easy to say all these things here. It's very easy to say it. Let someone tell you a mouthful on your face about your past and see how will you take it. No, I'm telling the truth. Nothing but the truth. Is it acceptable to you? He says, this weaknesses, they only come straightened after a long, long time. But in the process, by keep quiet, observe, understand, put things in place. Don't talk out of place. After some time, many, many years, then your mind opens out. Maybe it's just one word. One Buzurg is sitting for zikr. That zikr is not just flowing. See, he wants to make Quran Shaykh Tilawat, he can't. Zikr, he can't find it. Not happening. Not zikr is happening, not tilawat is happening. Oh, he's carrying 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, carrying on. That is, the only recourse is to beg Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala then answered him, dekho, itne saal pehle, ek gustakhana kalima aapke zaban se nikal gaya. Uski abhi tak talafi hui nahi. So many years ago, you said something that was disrespectful against someone. Buzurg or something, you said something disrespectful. And you didn't compensate for it. Now you're catching it, you see. You said something about someone, and 10 years have passed, and you didn't compensate yet for it. So this is now the consequence. This is the consequence. So that's why I say, we don't have the knowledge, we don't have that understanding. If some alim is doing it, he's got a status, right? Majlis says something, that he's got a status, he's got a position, right? So we don't think now that we are also at the position of the Majlis, we can do something at his level. He's got a status, if he says something, people will respect him. But now, we imitate him, that's not right. That is for him, right? Right? From the service that he's done, we would say that there's no flaw in his intention. We may not agree, perhaps, with his approach, but from the service that he's done, we will understand that there is no flaw in his intention. When you're talking about the masjid, then he was that one man around the 60s, late 60s, right? When nobody stood up for the security of a masjid, this man stood up. Right? He stood up, he defended the masjid, right? He had to go through some difficulties afterwards. He was not allowed to go overseas. But he defended the sanctity of a masjid around the 60s. Now again, it was a second time, right, when the masjids are going. So it must be, when we look at the man's history now, it must be that he has got a very strong bond with the masjid. He can't see this thing happen. And because he can't see these things happening, so that books fillah, the hatred for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, is forcing him to say what he's saying. But now, do you fall in that category? You don't fall in the category, don't imitate him. You don't go open your mouth. Yes, we would say that the man, what he is, we respect him, we love him for what he's done. When you see now, there's millions of good on the side, on the one side, right? And maybe one thing that we disagree, now should we forget all the million of good that he's done? It's not fair. All the millions of good he's done, and then one thing that we cannot agree with, we cannot understand why he said this, why he did done this. So we should we run the person down? But we don't imitate the person. We're not that caliber. But can't we respect? Can't we learn to respect? Just not open our mouths. Indiscriminately. Just go and bang and smash and hit. No, it's not right. That's not the shan of Ulama-i Kiram, Zuganuddin. When you see a person as free thinking, freelancing, free mouthing, understand that he is deficient, definitely deficient. And just now, within days, you'll see that the man will catch it. If he catches it so bad, then it is going to be difficult for him to get up again. So it's so dangerous. Misuse of the tongue, misuse of the eye, misuse of the tongue. It's a trial of this zamana. So we're talking about dua and the adab of dua. Ibn Atta Iskandari, rahmatullahi, he's given one adab of dua. So I'm giving it. He said it in high profile language, but I'm trying to bring it at my level, at our level, right? What he said. So he's bring it to this level. So he says, sometimes people think that dua is a kamal, right? Dua is just the objective. Whereas it is not an absolute law. Now for some people, that is not the desirable thing that he engages in too much of dua. Now see what he's saying. Whereas the hadith is saying, dua mukhul ibadah. Dua is the very essence of ibadah. And what he's saying, now the explanation comes in, explanation follows. This person is making dua, when he saw that brother of his, right, he bought a murk, he's making dua, Allah Baba, give me a jag. His intentions are right. There's competition, there's jealousy and competition. Right? In that heat of competition and jealousy, why has he got a murk? Allah Baba, please give me a jag, I'll fix him up. So is that spirit right? Sometimes it is just because of nafs. Allah Baba, I need to have that property. You are pretty well, you got enough wealth, but I must have that property that is 1 billion, right? I must have it. So you see, the catalyst behind this is what? The catalyst is greed. The catalyst is not genuine need. It is a... So for such a person, whose du'as are going to be it's going to be propped up by nafs. Nafs is going to bring it up. So in these matters, Allah Ta'ala will grant you today that sabak was on this du'a. It is coming to my mind. In this type of matters, Allah Ta'ala will grant you what is better for you. What is better suited for you. Not what you think is better for you. You may think, I need to know this, I must read up this thing here, and this is better suited for me. But there may be something that is better for you that you don't realize. Right? There's a child, 17, 18 years of age, and the father knows this child of mine is very, very short fused. He is wild, short fused. Wild, irrational, he just do things. So at the age of 18, when he just come up, he asked his father for a firearm. Father refused him. His mind is playing games. My father is a stingy person. He doesn't know. I come up of age now. He realizes that I come up of age. Give me my freedom. What's wrong with him? What's he doing? He's keeping me as a prisoner all my life. What he thinks of himself? So these type of thoughts are running in his mind. Okay, why is my father doing this to me? He's naive, his understanding is limited, he can see to a certain point, he can't see beyond that point. So he's entertaining all these type of doubts, suspicions against his father. Yeah. Everybody, all my friends got it, only I can't have it. Only I'm the person that is not mature. Everybody else is mature. Everybody else can do it, I can't do it. So you see this type of thoughts were driving his mind. Now, when he's about 38, 39, 40, then he looks into the memorials, all the past, memories. Looking at his diary and all that. All the past he's looking at. And when he's looking, all right, this day here, I was 18 years of age at that time, 17, 18 years, and I asked my father for a firearm and he refused me. So let me see what happened on that day. On that very day, my father put $20 million in my account. He put, that very day that I asked him, he refused to give me, but he put $20 million in my pay. That was a wonderful thing that my father had done. Because I know, I was very short-fused. I could have been very irrational. I could have blown someone. And then I could have been behind bars. And was my father, whose reasoning, his sight, his understanding, so great, that he just refused me. Because he could understand what I couldn't understand. He could reason like I couldn't reason. He could see like what I couldn't see. I knew I could have put myself into deep problems. Father refused me. And see what he's done for me. No father will do it. I can buy a factory of firearms. $20 million he put into my account. That day he refused, but this is what he's done. So Allah, what is $20 million? Allah gives much more. And I'm convinced about it that Allah gives much more. You ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah, give me a steady business, a steady business. Allah didn't give it to you. But he gave you the tawfiq of reciting Quran Sharif. He gave you the tawfiq of getting up for tahajjud, right? I ask you that one rakat, is it equivalent to the steady business? Is it equivalent to that prosperity? Not equivalent. But you only get to realize when your eyes close, when it's too late. Then you get to realize. But then it's too late. So what you ask for, Allah Pak will give. But Allah Pak will see what is suited for that person at that time. What was suited for you at that time, then Allah Pak will grant you. Now, for someone that rosy is very unstable. Today I find a job, tomorrow no job. Today a job, tomorrow no job. For that person it happens that he's got a steady job, he'll become proud, he'll become arrogant, and he will then throw his weight upon others. He will throw his weight upon others. So Allah Pak gives him an unsteady job. So he doesn't have a chance to become cruel, to be unfair towards people, to throw himself on to throw himself, his weight over others. Why? He's got an unsteady job. So he's always in a state of anxiety. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? Let me get something for today. So he's in a state, he's instable. That instability will bring him to the level of behaving well. And that will prevent him from a lot of guna. See, how Allah saves that person. And the other person, Allah gives him wealth. Allah knows his history as well. That this person, yeah, if not going to give him wealth, he may just slip up. He may just go into kufr and disbelieve. So that wealth is not a mark of acceptance. Don't think it's a mark of it. Maybe it's because of your weakness. Your iman may just go to prevent your iman getting lost. To create an immunity for your iman, Allah gave you that wealth. So don't ever think it's because of my piety, my righteousness, my acceptance that Allah has given that wealth. It's not the criterion. One friend of mine was in Jamaat in Cairo, right? So the Jamaat said, let's go and see Pharaoh. Cairo and Pharaoh. So he said, no, I don't want to go, you all carry on. They persisted, eventually they dragged him. So they're showing the footrest of Pharaoh, the footrest that was made of pure high class gold, you know, 25 carats, 200 kilos. That was just the footrest of Pharaoh. So, is that wealth the criterion for acceptance? It is not the criterion for acceptance. It is something else altogether. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then look at the Mubarak house, it's food, there's no food. Months are passing by, and there is nothing that is cooked in the house. Months, nothing cooked in the house. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, it is just khajur and water, and that's what they're surviving. We talk about, you know, to Zamana, about mushkil hai, so work out some dealers and all that for interest, all that. But look at the Mubarak time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at that time. At the time when interest usually was declared haram. Look at that time. There's a row of Ashab Sufa and they are fainting, no food. Hardly any clothing. The clothing is such constraints, one has to sit behind the other to conceal himself. Under that circumstances, usually was declared haram forbidden. How do we need to go and experiment with all these things here? This nonsense. Make a hila, go around and try and justify these things. Do we need all these things in our life? What we need to do is that when Allah has given so much and such in such abundance, we need to make shukr. Not to go and play around with Allah Ta'ala. Not to go and play around, rather to make shukr. By giving that advice, by you got so much, now make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Who knows, you make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak will give you something else, far better. Maybe if it is not material, he'll give you something else, he'll give you pleasure, he'll give you happiness. But now we're looking for healer, somehow, around, and then make a mockery of deen. That's what happens, eventually happens, a mockery of deen. Just to justify the person, just to make it, just to appease the person. These things were declared haram at the time. If there was rain in Medina Munawwara, the Mubarak roof of Rasulullah's house was leaking. And in such circumstances, it was declared haram. A very small little thing, now here. Let's make a hila here, let's get this thing right here, let's get this right here. Somehow they are just to justify, just to appease our mind. See? I do not say that in an extreme circumstance, right, for a Muslim that is very, very weak, I don't say don't work out a plan for him. Right? Work out a plan for him is an extreme circumstance. Right? Extreme circumstance. Don't make that a standard. That person's iman will go. So, rather than his iman going, look for a plan how you can save the person. But then we make these things a standard, what happened? Then we made a mockery of thee. Haven't we made a mockery of thee? So, Allah Ta'ala will give you what is most suited for you. What is better suited for you, Allah Ta'ala will grant that to you. So don't ever think that Allah Ta'ala is not accepting your dua. He's accepting every dua of yours. But what is better suited for you, Allah Ta'ala will give it. And you don't have to know what is better suited for you now. You may only understand that after 20 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, you'll understand that now you don't know what it is. I mean, I'll give an example. About 79, 80. So, I was in Hajj that year by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. 79. Right? And some of the ladies, their clothing hadn't come. Because I had to go to Jeddah myself to fetch their luggage. So I went to the airport to fetch the, identify the luggage, and I got it. Just then I saw one old chacha from Swingo Beach. They call him Obi Chacha. Some of you may have seen, right? You know, they call him Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. So his father-in-law was, they used to call him Obi Chacha. So he was like a pillar of the masjid, like how you get Abdullah Desai now, pillar of the masjid, right? Really, he's a marvelous lesson for us. Throughout this whole period, right, this whole period of lockdown, he is now Islamically 91. But there was not a single namaz that he didn't miss, with jamaat. But isn't it an example for us? We leave that man to other people. Isn't it a marvelous example? At the age of 91, not a single namaz he missed out without jamaat. Went, performed the namaz with jamaat and came back. The youngsters are getting scared. Old man like that, age 91, now his leg is giving trouble, right? His leg is giving trouble, so he's got one, two people to support him. But doesn't it bring you to that hadith where even a munafiq at that time would find it difficult not to perform the namaz with jamaat? And if you know, even if a sick person, he was supported by two people brought into the surface. Don't you read that in the hadith? Read that in the hadith. But really that is like the hadith coming alive. When you see that man, you see the hadith becoming alive. But isn't it a marvelous lesson for us? That he's being supported now. He can't, he's got some problem in his leg. Allah give shifa. Right? But he's being supported by one person, two persons. He can't stand up well. And they're supporting him and they bring him to the masjid. But now young people like us, some small little problem, we're getting so scared and terrified. Sometimes it is not a scared and terrified. It is Allah pak forbid, but is mentally appeasing ourselves. Oh, the ulama are saying that also. And it's against the law, so let's see, let's not get into trouble. But I ask you deep within, ask yourself, that is there any part of nafs? Nafs is also playing its part or not? Are you appeasing your nafs? Appeasing yourself? See? So it's a very dangerous thing, very, very dangerous thing. You know, it's such a dangerous thing. This morning I was thinking of it, you know, that you miss out three Jummas, right? And Allah Ta'ala puts a seal in your heart. Now again, this thing is misconstrued. One person came here, so he's misconstruing this whole Jummah thing and three Jummas. Yeah? So he says, we are a company, it's a very massive company we are. I don't know what they're doing. Some factory they got, massive. So that factory needs to run all the time. What we do is, he's amongst the three directors. What we do, because one has to be there all the time, the plant, so So we make sure that we don't miss out three Jummas. So we miss out one Jummah, the next one you get it. Right? We miss out another one, the third one you get it. So there's no seal on our hearts. Now, see how he's misconstrued this. These are the hadith has become a plaything for everybody. Everybody has to give his 2 cents to explain the hadith. See that? See, when the nafs has got his share in this whole thing, his whole equation, this is what happens. Now look at this man here, 91 years of age, not a single namaz missed. My personal fear is this, that if there is a contamination of nafs, and you're missing out your Jummah like this, what's going to happen? The seal is going to come. And the sign of the seal is, now that there is no lockdown, people don't have that heart to perform the namaz with Jamaat. So that's a sign that there's a seed, some problem, some discrepancy. The intentions were flawed. When the intention was flawed, now it's open. But you don't have that heart to come to perform namaz with Jamaat. See what happens. So when there is that contamination of nafs, pray, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness rather than justifying yourself. You rather come in the open, beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah, something went serious in my life. I can't understand. But Allah, whatever it is, you do forgive me. Now, when you're going to justify yourself, I ask you, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the seal? Is it going to become harder, or is it going to break? What's going to happen? It's going to become harder now. So it becomes harder for you to continue with that namaz. So that's why I say, by coming to the open, beg Allah's forgiveness for a couple of good days, and then see that seal will break up. Allah Ta'ala can break it. Who can stop Allah Ta'ala? Can anybody be stopping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody can stop Allah Ta'ala. He wants to break that thing, he can break it. But the way is that you come up and you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, cry, and see that it opens up. And when it opens up, now the road opens up for you. See? So we are talking of dua today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Talking of dua. So I explained that Allah Pak likes mulihin, that you keep repeating, you beg Allah, keep begging Allah. What a strange phenomena, that when you keep persisting on a person, then he becomes averse, he doesn't like it. He hates you. He sees this person, he's a pain in the neck, he'll come and ask again. I just gave him 1,000 just now, so he'll ask again. So you try to avoid the person. And by Allah Ta'ala is the other way around. By Allah Ta'ala it is that the more you beg, the more Allah Pak will love you. But I just explain now what's the meaning of dua. That person that is drowned by nafs, then for him, he must be a little bit careful of what he's asking. So in my mind, when I read the statement of Ibn Atta Iskandari rahmatullahi, so when he's contaminated by nafs, he's going to ask for nafsani things. I want to get married to this person here, I want to have that type of food, that type of holiday, that type of motor car. So what is he asking for? Everything that relates to nafs. Everything for his mental appeasement. Whereas his nafs is not under control. He may think that his nafs is under control. No, his nafs is not under control. And the sign that his nafs is not under control, his tongue is not right, his eyes are not right. When his eyes are not right, his tongue is not right, then he's not under control. I'm showing one man, 91 years old, and he's stuck in the masjid from Asr to Maghrib, at that age. And I went on to the story of that Ovi Chacha, right? So I'm at the airport there in Jeddah, and I saw this old Chacha now. See, from one end of the airport, he's walking to the other side. See, bhai, Chacha, now you all respect him because he's a regular Musalli, etc. Like I say, he's a column of the masjid. So what happened? Can I help you? He said, no. I want a confirmed ticket. They're not taking one to the Pakistani airline. So now I'm acting a little bit 79. So I'm actually a little bit brave. So now I'm going to speak to the person in English and all that, impress upon him. So I went to the counter. But the Arab, when he says mafi, he's mafi. You can't change him at all. He means no is no. Class. You can't change him. So hey, nothing. They were like a Shahana Mizaj. It was like a royal temperament. You can't change them around. So anyway, now he's trying to pacify the Chacha. Chacha is really helter-skelter. Trying to pacify, no, don't want to try to help you out. I'll be here until you settle, I'll be here. Don't worry, I won't leave you. So So we were in the airport about, I think it was under 50 minutes. Under 50 minutes. And the message came that the flight was going over Riyadh, that it crashed, all the passengers died. All the passengers died. Now he's making dua to be on the flight. And what was the better thing for him? Not to be going on the flight. And he said, hey, but how can they do this to me? You know, I'm an old man here and I'm stuck at the airport. I got a confirmed flight. But why? But Allah Pak wanted to save his life. And Allah Pak did not allow him to board the flight. But he couldn't see it until 1 hour. Before that 1 hour, he just saw it. Allah Pak jaan bacha liya. See that? Allah Pak wanted to save his life. How did it happen? So we don't realize the plan of Allah Ta'ala. The simple thing, by simple, straightforward thing, be happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. And number two, don't get too deep into the next person's life. Isa alayhi salam says, his advice is, you don't behave with people like as though you were a police. What is in his mind? What is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? You don't behave as a police. Allah Pak didn't, lasta alayhim bimusaytir. Allah Pak didn't appoint you as a police. So why are you doing the police's work? He's like this, and he said this, and he did this. Why are you behaving like a police? You are a slave, remain a slave. Right? Look into yourself, look into your own weaknesses. You're looking for his weakness, he did this, and he said this, and he did this. Yeah, this person here is giving a professional treatment. And we are like just passengers. See? Right? So you don't look at all that. Look at your own weaknesses. At the time of fitna, the Mubarak advice of Rasulullah Pak Sosam is Ibki ala khatiyati, cry over your sins. So what was the reason for him saying? That leave the others now, you worry about yourself. You're gonna worry about others, think about others, you'll get landed just now. One student came to ask me, I think yesterday or something, came to ask me. On the one side, we are told that ana inda zanni abdi bi, I treat my servant according to his opinion about me. He feels about me in a certain way. So I treat my servant in that way, right? But then the hadith says also, وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَتِيَةِ, that cry over your sins. So shouldn't we be thinking, after we made istighfar, shouldn't we be thinking that Allah Pak has forgiven us? So when Allah Pak has forgiven us, then what's the need to cry? So Allah Pak put the answer in my mind. So as you see, there's a masnoon dua. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ وَمَا أَسْرَفْتُ وَمَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي. So forgive all my sins, open or secret. We have overstepped the mark or not, right? Forgive all my sins. وَمَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي. And even those affairs that I don't know, I feel I've run it right, but there was a contamination of nafs in what I have done. Small part of nafs in what I've done, I'm not sure of myself. So, that sin, does it have to be a sin subject to you recognizing it? No, it's not subject to you recognizing it. Allah Pak says, this is wrong. You forgot it, you overlooked it, you didn't think about it, because you drown in everybody else's matter. Yeah. What he's done, what he's doing, what that person is doing. What you have done, see, after living in a Western society and glued to media, this is what it does. This is the toll it takes onto our minds, that we are worried about everybody else except ourselves. We are worried about everybody else except ourselves. Our weaknesses, we become blinded. Allah Baktofi Nasib.